Howdy.
Howdy.
That's liturgical, you know. It's written in the liturgy. Howdy. Well, Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we're meandering through John, encountering the love of God in Christ, because whatever you want to know about God, you can find in Christ. He's the exact representation. He's the radiance of his glory. Jesus alone reveals the truth about the Father. And John, I think, uniquely, because John was the beloved disciple who laid his head on the breast of Jesus, heard the heartbeat of Christ. He's the only one who stayed at the cross or came back to the cross, because I believe he understood the love of Jesus in a unique way. I think he reveals some things about the love of God different than any other writer in the New Testament. So this section of Scripture, like, this is probably the most famous verse in all the world, John 3:16. But remember what's going on here again. Jesus makes it really clear in the last part of John chapter 2 that man can't be entrusted with their own salvation, their own new creation, their own transformation. They can't do anything about their fallenness. They can't do anything about the fact that they're of their sin. And they can't do anything about their sinning unless he steps in and does what only he can do for us. And so his solution is that we would be born from above, that's what mankind has to have. There has to be a supernatural new birth, not just born again, the same person with a new shot at it, but born from above, a whole new creature that's been placed into the very person of Christ again. That's just an amazing thing that no matter how many times I say it, I can't get over it. That God's solution is not a storyline. It's not a description. God's solution is the person Jesus. And the way God saved man was God stepped out of eternity, clothed himself with mankind, and in him took care of that which was old and fallen and condemned and enslaved to sin, and raised up in him a new creation, so that forever one of the Godhead, one of the persons of the Godhead, Jesus, is both human and God, and we are in union with God through Christ. That's his solution, that in this person, he saved us by taking us and making us part of him. He was the rescue. He didn't just rescue us. He was the rescue. And that's his heart. So think of the love. I remember one of my favorite old movies is Long Hot Summer with Paul Newman. Remember that movie? Orson Welles plays this really wealthy person, but there's a part of the movie where his son, who's had conflict with him all of his life, finds that his father is in the stables with the horses, and he sets the stables on fire, and he shuts the door so he can't get out, so he's going to burn his father to death. And his father always had issues with the fact that his son wasn't strong enough, wasn't something enough that he could entrust his inheritance to him. But at some point, the boy comes to his senses, not a boy, he was a man, came to his senses, and opens the door, takes his father out, makes sure he's okay. And his father says, when I think of the hatred that caused you to close that door, but then I think of the love that would not let me die. So I think about that last part. Can you think about the love? Because God never hated humanity. God so loved the world. But can you think of what kind of love it is that God, who's never been tempted to sin in his life, who never was impersonally in the presence of evil, God became human because that was the only way he could rescue us, by including us into his person and being tempted in every way like unto us, so that in his person, he could die as us, crucifying the old and raise us up as new, that we might have eternal life. And eternal life isn't something that lasts forever, though it does. Eternal life is the above life, the life that Jesus himself lives. That's the rescue, the love of God. So when you see in chapter 3, when he says, he's still describing to him what this new creation is like, because Jesus is the prototype of what it looks like for a human to be born from above, a human in union with God. If you're a Christian, you're in union with Christ, who is God. That's what makes life work. I was having a Zoom meeting with my bishop's council, from around the southeast, and one of them was talking about fear, and they were studying the thing of fear, and that God doesn't want us to be afraid. And I you know, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, you know, here's the good news. Jesus has yoked you to himself. He's now your life, and he doesn't get afraid. Therefore, if you're surrendered to him, you don't have to be afraid either, because he will consume your weakness with his strength, and you can know his lack of being afraid. That's amazing. That's the Christian life. So he says to Nicodemus, he said, look, if I've told you earthly things and you didn't believe, how can I tell you heavenly things? And he goes on and says, one more thing, verse 13, and no one has ascended from heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And so he's talking about, again, here's something else that's real heavenly, that a person who's born from above, though they're on the earth, they're actually living an ascended life. You and I will go to heaven one day, but you already are. You're ascended. You've been seated in heavenly places with Christ, though our feet are on earth. Then he says this. He says in verse 15, and whoever believes may in Christ, whoever believes may in Christ have eternal life, the above life, life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, believes in him, should not perish. The King James said, should no longer perish, but have eternal life. I think you've heard me say this before. The Greek word perish means something that's ruined, that's ruining, that's spoiled. As if what happens in my refrigerator often, now that Olivia's not around to tell me, things turn green. Doesn't mean it's getting healthier. They've actually ruined, they're spoiled. You don't want to eat it. And he was saying that about humanity. Humanity was self-destructing. And God so loved the world, that the humanity that he created to be in fellowship and union with him, to share in all that he is and all that he has, was they were self-destructing. They were ruining themselves. And so he said he loved us so much he gave his only Son, that if we'll just believe, because he said, I'll take care of everything. I'll fix the problem. I'll solve everything. All you got to do is believe. If you only believe, you'll no longer perish, but you'll have the above life life, the age to come kind of life, lived in the here and now by Jesus through us. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son, the Son, into the world to judge the world or condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, this is insight into who God is. The whole world was guilty of sin. The whole world were slaves to sin. 1 John 5:19 says, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And until a person believes and accepts what Christ has done for them, that's their experience. But the Lord didn't come to judge. He said, I didn't send my Son to judge you, to condemn you. That's not what I do. See, that's what people think of God, and it really breaks my heart. It breaks his heart. I'll see people write things like this, like, God's just ticked off. He's so mad at you. He's so mad at evil. You know, he's like he's in a grouchy mood. And they treat the cross like that the cross changed God. Jesus was the good person in the Godhead. The Father was the grouchy old guy who wanted to judge us and hated us because we were sinful. And so Jesus got between us and the mad God and changed God's attitude towards us because of the cross. That's just nonsense. But many of us grew up hearing that kind of nonsense. It's terrible. It's not godly. It's not biblical. It's not theology. It's just nonsense. It's from the enemy. God so loved the world. He didn't approve of the behavior, but he created us to be in fellowship with him, to participate in his life, experiencing his life, all that he is, all that he has. And so what he did, he came to rescue. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would no longer be self-destructing, but would have the above life, the abundant life that's in Christ. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world or condemn the world, but that through the world, through him, might be saved. Don't just think like a Baptist. Well, that means saved. I'm not going to go to hell. That means saved from what you had become, not just from what you had done, but what you had become. I've come to rescue you. I've come to restore you. The word saved is a Greek word that means to make whole again, to make whole. I've come to heal you, your brokenness, your fallenness. I've come to heal you of being controlled by fear and greed and lust and all that nonsense. You know, when I think about, we were discussing that, I mean, it's pretty soon. This is going to happen in California soon. They're going to make legal pedophilia because the whole issue is that a human being should be able to express her sexuality any way you want to. That'll happen soon. And that makes us so angry. And I know there's a place where there is anger and righteously. But you know where God is? I've come to rescue you from that. I love you. I love you. You who are doing these horrible things, I love you. I hate what you're doing, but I love you and I've come to rescue you. I didn't come to condemn you. I've come to let you know there is a rescue. There is a lifeboat. There is one of those rings that's been thrown in the water. He's called Jesus. I didn't just come to keep you out of hell. I came that you might have life and have it more abundant. And I came that you'd know life from above. That's who God is. That is so important. I don't know who I was talking to yesterday, but you know, there's maybe it says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's just no place in that realm. Not just about you getting condemned, but about you being a condemner. You're in union with Christ. He didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to judge the world. He so loved the world, he came to rescue the world. You with me? If you're a father and you have a child, and that child is just he's making horrible choices, and you understand that there are consequences, and it happens, and there are consequences and all those kind of things, but you're like, your heart stays broken. Because what you want more than anything else is not for that child to be condemned, but for that child, even if that child goes to prison, that they would be rescued. Their soul would be changed. They'd become a different human being. They wouldn't be what they've been. That's God. So in any time when you walk with the Lord, and when you've blown it, and what you hear are words of condemnation and judgment, that ain't God. What he will speak to you as a Christian are words of rescue, are words of saving. I want to save you from that. I'm not going to hell, heaven stuff. I want to save you from that lust thing. I want to save you from that addiction thing. I came to save you from the fear thing. I came to save you from the pride thing. I came to save you from the self-rejection thing. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. That's God. That's what Jesus came to try to tell us. Because the Jewish Pharisees' concept was God is a condemner. He's a perfectionist, and therefore he's a condemner because everything else is imperfect. And Jesus came and said, no, it's not who he is. He's a savior, not just for the lost, but for us. Has it ever helped you that when you've blown it and you feel condemned, helped you? It may help you for a few days, then you end up doing it again. When you stop feeling guilty, you start doing it again because it didn't work. He came to offer you a solution to your problem, not to judge you and condemn you. God so loved the world. Jesus said, I came that you might finally get it, what horrible people you actually are, and that you'll understand that you're going to get exactly what you deserve. No, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I love it when he talks to me. When I blow it, I hate it when I blow it because I've wasted time. I could be experiencing that abundant life, the above life, the eternal life, and I've blown it. And the Lord speaks to me and says, you know, you're forgiven. That's not the point. But the point is, you're free to not do that anymore because it's a thief. And I've come to set you free from all thievery so you can be everything I've created you to be. He didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.